Om God Christ Gurus. The Lord be with us as we admire and follow in the footsteps of Jesus the Christ. Be with us in our understanding and wisdom as we try to emulate in every way the Christ-like life that he led. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Keep our minds constantly focused upon you. Amen. It's lovely to be with you in this way on Easter service. I'd much rather be there in person. God has arranged it this way. We are in the mountains of northern Georgia. It's quite beautiful here, and it's been a wonderful time. Easter is such a special and significant part of the year. Each one of us is, it seems to be, thrown into this world, usually without a clue as to who and what we are. We have families, we have friends, we develop an ego, but really we don't have a clue. And so we go on this journey. And if God deems it right, we come to the point where we grow dissatisfied with this world, where it's not what we wanted it to be or thought it that it would be. We see where we'll never get everything that we ever wanted. And so we start on our spiritual journey. I thought I'd read to you from the posting that I wrote this morning. And it is entitled, Easter's Fulfillment. It's a beautiful picture of Mother on the front, with the caption, Easter's Promise Found Fulfillment in Mother Hamilton. Yesterday was a very difficult day for this body. Due to the work that God does through this body, it often experiences diverse pains and other unusual symptoms. When this happens, Carla will ask, do you know who this is connected to? As so often, it is connected with an aspirant going through, and by God's grace, somehow, even over great distances, God gives me a share of it. She never asks who it is, only do I know. Sometimes I know in the moment, sometimes somebody will write to me or somehow it is communicated to me who is going through a particular experience and how that connects to what I was going through. However, yesterday did not seem connected to any one individual, but was more universal. This Easter morning, it came clear from God that I was experiencing is part of the mystical crucifixion on a wider plane of consciousness. I was in the midst of two grinding oppositional forces of creation. It is fascinating, it truly is, to be taken through these times and have God as my perfect guide. I am perfectly sensible that there are those who would doubt such experiences, but I can tell one and all that I am perfectly sane, I am not given to fanciful imaginations, and that I am not extraordinary. But God makes it all possible through this form. It is most interesting, challenging, and fulfilling life one can possibly live, and I have been quite blessed to have God and Gurus as the sole power and guide in my life. The scriptures take on a completely new meaning when you see that they apply to you in a most specific way. To think that Jesus, or any emissary from God, is the only one to go through such experiences, and you are simply drawn along on its coattails without anything for you to do but have faith, is a very pale view of a spiritual life. On the other hand, to know that Jesus came to show the way with the intention that you are to follow every step makes the scriptures become vital, essential to you and your life. I remember so well, it was in the spring of the year 1976. I was sitting in a meditation group in Bellingham, Washington, when suddenly there was a feeling and an interior sound of a snap. At that same time, this powerful kundalini serpent force raised from the bottom of my spine to the point between my eyebrows, the ajna. For 2 previous years, I had heard Mother described at different times this type of occurrence, so I had some little understanding of what was happening. Yajna grew very hot and felt an intense pressure. It was a pleasurable pain. For about 5 minutes, this continued without abatement. Then slowly it began to lessen, but this started me into the mystical crucifixion that was to last for many years. Mother's teachings and her active help on all the outer and inner planes was absolutely vital to surviving these experiences and making this transformation. I look back on the many years that I had a very variety of work while going through these experiences, and somehow God made it possible for me to fulfill the duties required of me, although I can tell you it was a great challenge to do so. I will also say that living in 2 worlds simultaneously meant I could never fully give myself to whatever work I did, so I did not always do it to my fullest satisfaction. But my employers and customers were usually satisfied. One of the things I proved to myself is that you can do both. With God and Guru's grace, it is possible. And why go through all this trouble? It is because Mother, Master, and Papa have shown the way to the next evolutionary step for mankind. Jesus let his life serve as an example for what is possible, and even more to come, to merge individual consciousness into absolute divine consciousness means that you have supreme bliss, a perfect knowing of who and what you truly are, and untold spiritual potential may express itself through you according to its will. In essence, you are who you have always been, but all false illusions have fallen away, and you stand revealed as a perfect expression of God. You no longer crawl upon this mud ball, the earth, as a worm, making its way in darkness. You now are a shining spiritual being. Whatever you have been put through upon the way now seems very little cost compared to what you have become. Material wealth and prestige come and go with the seasons of life. Youth, strength, and health can all fall by the wayside. What is permanent? The only thing that is lasting is your spiritual heritage that you may realize in all of its fullness. God made creation with fascinating, never-ending expressions, but all have an expiry date attached. Only God can fulfill that need we all have for this inner kingdom of heaven, promised from the foundation of this universe was created. As you celebrate this sacred experience of the resurrection of Christ consciousness, think deeply upon its meaning for each one of us and make a determination that this symbolic day will find fulfillment in you. And I would like to read from a talk that Mother gave on Easter in 1977. And she begins, "I have chosen appropriately this morning for my sermon titled, The Arisen Christ. We have all been following the way of the cross with the Christ during this Lenten season. It has been, for me at least, a very tremendous experience. As I told you recently, I have been lifted up in a way I have never been before. My body has been going through a great deal of pain, a great deal of suffering, but still my mind is just as keen as it ever was, and it is as though the whole new world is developing within myself. So, as I tell you many times, I feel wonderful. It is only the body that is not doing so well. It's a wonderful experience to follow this way, because it is the experience of every man as he goes from the human to the divine. Jesus came to show us the way. And what a way it was. It means pain. It means suffering. It means that the physical must pay the price for the spiritual enlightenment which comes. On this morning, 2,000 years ago, it was in the year Nisan, 3390 in those days, but later, quite a bit later, said to be April of 30th AD. And a great event had taken place 2 days before. But the people were not particularly interested in this at the time. They were only interested in the Passover. They were interested in peddling their wares. But yet, this morning, there were many, many of them assembled around. If they thought to speak of the event that had happened before, it was not about the three men who had died, the one who called himself the Son of God, as they said. Always somebody was setting himself up as God, and they just went like this one did. However, there was one difference about this one. He promised that he would rise from the dead 3 days later, and they thought that that would be fine if it ever happened. The other two thieves who died on the cross with him, they weren't interested in him at all, nor were they interested in Judas Iscariot, who hung himself upside down. They weren't interested that the rope had broken and that he had fallen over the cliff and down into the sea. It didn't make any difference to them at all. What they were interested in was the tremendous earthquake that had happened just at the time that this man who called himself Jesus of Nazareth, the King of Jews, when he died, and the temple, the veil of the temple, was rent asunder. Now we visualize all of this in the outer sense. We can see ourselves on the hill of Golgotha, witnessing this tremendous spectacle of the man, Jesus, being crucified on the cross. We can visualize all the people watching this event. People seem to take pleasure in watching such things of that nature in those days. There is violence in a different way, even as there was with us today. So, having fulfilled his destiny, having given up the ghost, he had commended his soul to his Father. He had said these famous words, "It is finished." It is finished, and he gave up the ghost. Then we can visualize his being taken down from the cross. We can visualize the legs of the two thieves being broken, but not the legs of Jesus, because that was prophesied, not a bone in his body would be broken. All of this. And we can visualize the Roman soldiers gathered around the cross and casting dice for the robe that he wore. All of this in the outer sense, and our heart bleeds for him. As we know him, each station of the cross on the way to Calgary. But we have never been taught that we have also had the blessed privilege of following him, of emulating him in every detail, if we would but pick up our cross, which is to say our body, and follow him. Remember that every man is in the form of a cross, and it is upon this cross, yours and mine, that the human ego must be crucified in order that we too become heirs with Christ, that we too receive that anointing from God. But today people are starting to question as to whether or not only one man, Jesus Christ, could come. They do not read what it says in the Bible. It doesn't penetrate the consciousness because they do not read where it says, "All of these works that I do, you may do also. And even greater works than these that I do, ye may do." That was a promise to us. He also said, "I of myself am nothing. It is my Father who doeth the works." He said, also, "Ye are gods. Ye are the temple of God." And he is telling us in everything that he said that we too, if we would pick up our cross and follow him, that is to emulate him in every detail, even unto death, could become as he became. And the wonderful part of it is that he said that after he left, he would appear a second time out of the clouds of heaven. Now he made the statement that the kingdom of heaven is within, yet constantly mankind for 2,000 years has been looking outside of himself for the second coming of the Christ. People have left their homes. They have sold everything that they've had. They've gone up into the mountains to await this glorious coming because somebody had a vision. somebody was given the word inwardly or imagined it, that the Christ was coming a second time. But if he, as he said, that the kingdom of heaven is within, where is he going to come except within the cloud of heaven within your own being, when you are purified and ready to receive him? This is such a tremendous teaching by Mother, because she takes these historical contexts, she takes these physicalizations, making concrete statements about esoteric truths, and making them so that we think that everything happens on the outside. This is because mankind was entering into the Kali Yuga, and the Kali Yuga was first and foremost a materialistic age. It was rooted in the earth, rooted in the ground. So we took these wonderful, wonderful truths that were given to us, that were meant to lift us up, to go beyond this body, to go beyond this world. And we are simply given images and symbols that told us that these bones would rise again, literally, that they would rise up out of the earth and form themselves again, so that they might live in 1,000 years of peace upon this earth. You see how oriented it was towards this world, and not going beyond this world, rather a more refined version of it. There's such a limited vision of what God is, and what God consciousness is, and what our capacity is. And so we have lived with that message for so long, that we have come to think that it only means that, and if we come to doubt it, then we are left with nothing at all. Fortunately, we have been given the higher truths. Fortunately, Paramahansa Yogananda came to America, and he brought with him not just Hindu truths, but the universal nature behind all the different religions, because there is but one God, and therefore one religion. And yet we look out upon this earth and we see so many different religions, so many different expressions. I have been writing about in our travels as we go from church to synagogue to another church about the various experiences that we've had while going to each of these. How universal it is, what we feel, what we experience, especially in the highly charged areas that we have been led to. And it's wonderful. It's remarkable. And so many beautiful, beautiful souls. So many who are, if not fully awakened, at least they have a light in their eye. I wrote about this woman who had clouded over eyes, and yet her vision was exactly clear and pure, because it was a spiritual vision. And she knew that the Holy Spirit resided in that church, and indeed it did. I saw waves and waves of spiritual power moving through. I knew that this was a special place. The sound of Om was so remarkably loud. And such wonderful experiences. Now, it's true that you have God within yourself, and that you experience God within yourself, and then you carry that experience wherever you go when you become established in it. But it is also true that there are special places in this world that have become spiritually charged, either because through nature they are just so, or because saints or realized beings have come there and have spiritually charged it, and then it becomes that way, or a combination of the two, a place that is naturally spiritually charged. You see that often, where some church or some holy place by one religion has been replaced when another comes in and dominates, and they'll build right over the same place. Now, you could say, and it is true, that it's a way to dominate another people. But even more true, many of these places have been built upon spiritual powerhouses, and that is sense. And so the next church, the next mosque, the next synagogue is placed right there, because that's where it's felt to be the most powerful within that area. And so we have found these places, and they have been significant and meaningful, and they're all across America, all across this North American continent. And it's wonderful because God has taken us on this trip, and he's showing, he's revealing his body, the great body of creation, and in all the ways and different places where he manifests himself. You know, nobody can have the corner on the truth. Not me, not you, not any particular religion, no individual, certainly. Because truth is universal. God is universal. We follow a path because we need to become singular in our focus. And because that takes us all the way. If our vision is scattered and we're a little bit over here and a little bit over there and just picking up new things here and there, that's just spiritual tourism. It's not really going to the heart of the matter. And so there are those who do this because they like to be entertained, but they're not really ready or willing to do the work. To do the work means you dig in where you're at. You don't blame the tools that you've been given. You don't blame the teacher that you've been given. You really start to make an effort. And as a result of that, you start digging deeper. Now, it's said that the analogy of a deep sea diver and those who just simply swim on the surface of the ocean, they don't get anything. Even those who dive down 10 feet, 20 feet don't get anything. But those who go all the way to the bottom, they get the pearl. They get that which is really valuable. And so it is. So we must learn to challenge ourselves, to always put ourselves forward toward God to an even greater degree. Not to be satisfied with just getting a little cup, but wanting to dive in and merge with the whole ocean. Now somehow, for some reason, our human egos are frightened of this. And this is where the mystical crucifixion begins. Because you have an ascending current that runs in your spine, that goes from the base of your spine all the way to the top of your head. You also have horizontal planes that are met with, and these are the various chakras or energy centers, consciousness centers that are along in your spine. And each one represents a different aspect of you. And so you come up to the first center, and that has to do with survival, the very basic nature. If everything else is taken away from you, that desire to survive usually continues to burn. And so you come up against that, and that's where you must be willing to surrender yourself completely and totally. No matter, even if it takes you unto the death. I always thought that Mother must have been one of the greatest saleswomen or men ever in this world. Because she talked about death, she talked about crucifixion, she talked about pain, and all the things she went with, that she went through. And then she said, who's willing to follow? Well, we chose to follow. But I thought she must have been a tremendous saleswoman, because she told it like it was. She didn't want anybody to get in the middle of it and then find out it was something more than what was talked about. She wanted you to understand it so that when you came up against these oppositional forces, when that fear for your very life, for your very existence came in as it can, when you hit that first chakra, then you just want to recoil. You want to run away. You want to preserve your life. Jesus said, all those who want to preserve their lives shall lose it. And those who will give their lives will gain eternal life. And this is the meaning. Because you will come to that place where you will want to just run away. And yet, if you persevere, if you go through that, then you will find the eternal life existing in you. Then you come to the next center, and that's the pleasure center. It has to do with sex. It has to do with all the things that are pleasurable about this world. And even if that had been relatively dormant in you before, when you go through these experiences, it will become active. And you think, I'm far from being a spiritual person. All of these energies, all of these desires are rising up inside of me. But they are a test that's come to you. And there's been many, many individuals who have not made it through that test. Instead, they got caught by the things of this world. They got drawn out. But even if you get drawn out, you can get back on your feet and you can keep going. And this is the essence to all of the spiritual journey, because even Jesus fell 3 times carrying his cross. His cross, which is the body. And the falling means that there were times when he wasn't able to keep it all going, that something drew him away. And then God's grace came in at one point. Another man was enlisted to help him. God's grace will always come to your aid as long as you are humble, as long as you are surrendered, as long as you are willing to do whatever it takes to get going again, that your pride doesn't kick in or that your shame doesn't kick in. And therefore you leave the path. So this is very, very important. Then you come to the third place of consciousness. And this represents individual will. And it is the place where you once again surrender yourself. And it's not so much the feeling that you will cease to exist, but that you will cease to have control in your life. Even if you're not a very controlling person, it's something else when you are have everything else taken away from you. Your breath, your life force, your ability to move and to breathe and even to think. And so you surrender all of those things and you put them into the ocean of God. And you keep on going. Then you come to the heart center. Now the heart center is the mediator between human and divine. The bottom 3 chakras and the upper 3 chakras. And it's the 4th chakra. It's right in between. And so it's both human love and divine love. And perhaps you get very, very lonely. And that's the human love. And you feel abandoned by God. You feel that he's not there when you're being tested. And so you have to go through this center as well. But when you do, there's this explosion within your heart center. And this divine love, it's like a doorway opening up or like a dam bursting. And that love begins to flow out. And it's not just something imaginary. It's not just something that you try to make happen. It's a real experience. And this divine love pours from you. And it doesn't pour toward any one individual or just a few people, but it pours out through all creation, animate, inanimate, human, animal, vegetable, mineral, everything. Because that love saturates you. And it saturates all creation. And you learn what divine love is. And then you rise up to the next. And that is the place of truth. That's the 5th chakra, where you learn to speak the truth. And you learn that every word that you speak has power. And that you must always be aligned with truth. That you must never speak an untruth. And you learn that by having real life examples, either in other people or in yourself. And perhaps you shade things at some time to protect your ego, to protect yourself, or maybe even to protect somebody else, but you pay a price for it. And through that, and through those experiences, you gradually become refined where you only speak the truth and you can do nothing else. And you become more and more refined in knowing the truth, in having discrimination, in knowing what true dharma is, doing the right thing. Not just the right thing, but the God-centered thing. The thing that God wills through you. And that becomes more refined as well. Then, being very, very blessed, you rise up into the 6th chakra. That's the Christ center. You go beyond your own human mind, but that's the test that comes along because your own mind starts fighting for its life. What if you lose your mind? What if you go crazy? What if you can't have a thought? What will you do then? Who will you be? That's the thoughts that you have, but you are more than the mind. You are more than thoughts, but you haven't realized it yet. And you surrender the mind at the altar of God. And you go above the human mind and you go into the Christ mind. You go into the direct thoughts of God And you know it. You feel it deep within yourself. You know when it's God's thoughts versus your own thoughts. It's very, very clear. And yet, it can be very subtle. And when you are tested, these thoughts can come along, and you can think that they're God thoughts, but they're not. Once again, through humility and through an earnest desire, you gradually purify that so that you're not fooled. You have to test every truth that comes to you. And this is true. But through these experiences, your mind is purified. Now, at any one of these times, if you fail the test, if you stop being sincere, if you stop aspiring, you can get swept away downstream and you can lose everything that you've had. And this is a very terrible thing indeed. It's a terrible price because you came so close, you came so far. And yet, those energies, that consciousness took you over. You justified it to yourself. You thought, I'm just being me. I have a right to be me. And of course you have a right to be you. But the loss that you will feel when one day you come to realize what choice you've made will be tremendous, and you'll have great lamentation and tears. But this too is purifying, because eventually, as Elizabeth Hike says, eternity is long enough. Only most of us aren't wanting to wait for eternity. We'd rather have it a little sooner, thank you very much. So, eternity is long enough. We will eventually learn these lessons. We will eventually rise higher. And when we do, when we have gone through a time, when we went with something that took us back away from God, when we did approach Him, and then the pain that we feel afterwards, it may be in this lifetime, it may be in another, but the pain that we feel is purifying. And we get very, very clear in our mind. It doesn't make any difference what it takes, what it costs. I will go all the way. I will never again turn away. So even that, if you fall short of the goal in this lifetime, even that will purify you and eventually take you all the way to your goal. But what a sad thing when you come so close. And then it's taken you so far away. It really is a sad thing. And I have seen it. I've seen it in those who were with Master, in those who were with Mother, in those who have followed along on this path. And I don't feel angry for those people. I don't feel resentment, nothing, because that would be my desires superseding theirs. They will do as they choose to do. But I feel sad because I know the pain that they will one day have for not staying true. And one day when they do turn to God, because they have turned away when they've been given the truth, they may not find that the truth is so easily available to them again. They may find that there is a great waiting period as a karmic consequence for their turning away. So this is important. It is important to you. It is important to all of us that we support one another, that we love one another, that we cheer each other's accomplishments, and that we realize that in God there is a house big enough for everyone. So there is no one who is left behind. This is the message that the Christ came to give. And when you attune yourself to Christ consciousness beyond your own mind, beyond your own will, you transcend and you go to the seventh heaven. Have you ever wondered about that statement, seventh heaven? And seventh heaven is at the top of your head. It's the what is called in yoga the Sahasrara, the thousand-petal lotus. And in a way, it feels like a flower opening. The petals open with radiant light, and realization comes to you as these petals open. And it receives light, and it gives light. And this is the fully illumined consciousness. In Revelations, it's the 1,000 years of peace. It's the same description as the 1,000-petaled lotus. And so you enter into this state where this lotus opens up, and you realize in truth who and what you truly are. Who and what you truly are. This is no small thing. We live with ourselves, but we live with our ego selves. And our ego self is not who and what we truly are. Every once in a while, we may capture a glimpse of something greater that is within. And this is a manifestation, but this 1,000-petal lotus opens up, and we really come into the full awareness of who and what we truly are. The great I am that I am begins to resound through all of your being. And when you become established in all of these positive centers up and down the spine, and you become established at the Sahasrara, and then you come into the resurrection. And in all three bodies, you see, these are three different experiences that as each one are totally purified, you resurrect or you come into the perfection of each one of these bodies. So it's the physical and the mental and the spiritual. And these three experiences come, and when they do, then you have completed your journey back to God. Then you still have a free will. You could turn away from God, but you have paid such a price and you have gained so much that there is nothing inside of you that would ever think to turn away from God. You would think that's the most foolish thing in the world to do, because you have paid that great price. You have gone through the mystical crucifixion. You see, and even in Jesus, when he resurrects, he says, "Touch me not, for I have not fully ascended to my Father." He had these three further experiences to go through, to complete. He was not yet there. But he would get there. He would get there. The great message that he came to bring and that is taught is the life that he lived as he approached going through this experience of the mystical crucifixion and then going through the experience itself. He came to manifest as his life this whole evolvement of consciousness. And he did it not for himself, because he had already paid the price in a previous incarnation. He already had been fully realized. That is what made him an avatar, a descent of spirit into flesh. And he came for all mankind so that we would all benefit from the tremendous life that he lived, and that there would be a terrific infusion of spiritual consciousness and power and energy that would help to lift this world up. Now he said of himself, "If I be lifted up, all the world with me will be lifted up." Now, we look around this world, and it hasn't been. But it's true on the inside. All the world within you, because you have so many cities, you have so many countries, you have a whole world of consciousness within you. And it all gets lifted up into Christ consciousness. And then gradually, as the world begins to change and evolve, it too will one day all be lifted up. Now, you stand as a pioneer today. This is not, you know, the most fashionable thing to be doing. The body is still very much part of world consciousness, even though we've moved in toward the Dwapara Yuga. So even though we have so many yoga centers, there are hatha yoga centers, and very often not much spirituality comes with them. Mirrors are placed around the room, and everybody looks at their bodies and how they're sculpting them. And you see how physical it gets, how reinforcing that is. Now, there's some benefit to that. It's true. And it's good, but it's incomplete. It's not yet the fullness of what we've come to manifest. That is truly in spirit. There have been people that have not had lithe little bodies. You think of Trailyanga Swami, 300 pounds. He was enormous and fully realized. Lari Mahasha carried a little extra weight. He's wonderful. Nobody greater than him. So you see, this is something that is not just something physical. We can't look at a person's body. They may then be the most world's tremendous athlete in the greatest condition, but that doesn't mean anything about their realization. So we begin to go beyond this body. We begin to go beyond the things of this world. We have driven by some of these mega churches down here in the South. Huge, huge buildings. Wonderful that people are loving and seeking out after God. But how many are taught the inner way, the way to go within themselves and to find God and the Christ manifesting there? Versus how many are taught that God and Christ are somewhere out there and will be coming back someday, but you have to wait. Why wait? Is the Christ not here now? Is he not manifesting within you? Are you not able to realize him each and every minute? What a cruel God that would be. That would make the entire world wait thousands and thousands of years. Fortunately, it is not so. God and the Christ are here. They're now. They're within you. And you may realize them and know them and become fully immersed in that and know who and what you truly are. So it's a great joy that we've been able to share this time today, that there's so much that we might explore in God consciousness, and also that we might come together as a group so that we might share the light and the love and recognizing God within each and practice this as you see each one. See that that is God manifesting before you. See the light. See the brilliance. And let your light shine as well. Jesus says you don't take a light and put it underneath the bushel. You don't take a candle and hide it away. What good is that? You put it up on a tabletop. You put it someplace where it'll do some good, shed some light. Let your light shine. Let your whole being shine with the radiance and the light and the love of God. So while I very much wish that we were all together in the same room today, it is not so, but please receive my spirit. Please receive my love. Please receive my light as I see it glowing so greatly in you. And let us all rise up into Christhood. Let us all make Easter something that is wonderful and poignant. I would like to close with a wonderful writing. It's an excerpt from Master entitled The Unseen Church. On the soil of eternity, I built an unseen church where all might worship. Here under the blue dome, illumined by sun, moon, aurora, Milky Way, and wisdom lights, are gathered the assembled star families, island universes, solar systems, and the little earth with its millions of families of many religions. There is a silent sermon of the infinite was heard in the silence. A silent song of mirth filled the chalice of all lives. A silent smile of light drove the hidden gloom away from us all. Under the silent spell of his sermon, love embraced hate. Light hugged gloom. I want you to really listen to these words. Under the silent spell of his sermon, love embraced hate. Light hugged gloom. Wisdom transmuted ignorance. Good charmed bad. Many religions embraced his one faith of truth. Many hearts dissolved into one altar of heart. Many loves became his one pure love. and many souls became one spirit. And all of them sang with one voice the chorus of one religion, one life, one truth, one goal, one devotion, one love, and one spirit. Isn't that absolutely marvelous? What a great, great God-man whom we have for our Param Guru. And we are so blessed. We are so blessed to have these great ones. And they shine their light upon us. You know, when a master leaves this body, he does not lose interest in this world, but rather they keep shining and illuminating their light upon this world so that all may grow into God consciousness. And so it is with Master, with Papa, with Mother, with all. And so we may receive their light. And in truth, we may manifest that light in turn. You know, it's one of the things about God is that the more you give it away, the more you get. The more you try to keep it and conserve it for yourself only, you block the flow to it and you actually start to cut off the very source from which it all comes. So learn to give. Give freely and give to all. Give the love of God. See the light of God in every soul that you meet. And this world will change. Perhaps it will be one person at a time, but that can grow. And suddenly there's a geometric expansion. Then it becomes the cool thing to be searching for the true self, to be searching for God, to realizing Him. It becomes reinforced within the world. That's not the case so much today. But one day it can come to that. And you can be the forerunner. You can be the pioneers that will help to bring that into manifestation. So let us set our sights upon that and realize this great Christ consciousness within and without. I don't know if you can see behind me here next to Mother's picture, but Carla found some dogwoods, and she told me that dogwoods are actually connected with Easter. There's a little tiny red dot on the end of each leaf, and that is to be the blood of Christ. And so it's seen as something as an Easter, and it comes at this time of year. So she found some of these in the woods here, and we put them next to Mother in honor of the great life that she led. So please receive my loving pranams. I bow to the light within you. And please take my love with you and know that you are in my thoughts and in my prayers always. Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Jai Gurus, Jai Christ. Amen.